We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, and we could read again verse 3. Matthew 13, verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. We have here the greatest of Jesus' parables. It's recorded for us in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, as well as here in Matthew, chapter 13. It's a parable which is relevant to the converted as well as to the unconverted. A huge crowd, a great multitude came to hear Jesus, and they were pressing upon him. And you remember how Jesus sat in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd stood on the shore. So what does Jesus think of preaching when he's got thousands of people there to listen to him? You might think that he would preach a great evangelistic sermon, or he might preach a great theological teaching sermon. But instead, he tells the parable of the sower and other parables as well. That's because there's vital truths here, both for saints and for sinners. And as we study this parable today, I pray that the Spirit of God would apply it to each one of us, that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we would be able to take this parable to ourselves so that each one of us would be challenged with regard to our own standing before God. Whether we're young or old, whether we're educated or uneducated, whether we're Christians or not committed Christians, this parable has something to say to us. Now, of course, there's the three different kinds of seed, so it's natural to break up the parable into these four parts. First, there's the seed that was sown by the wayside. One of the pictures I have from my childhood when I was very young is coming home from school one day, and in the field just across from our house, seeing old Joe Black, the farmer, walking up and down the field. It had been plowed, had been harrowed, and there he was with his sack full of corn tied to his waist, full of oats, and he was casting the seed from one side to the other as he walked up and down the field. And that, of course, is exactly what we have here, the picture that we have, the sower going forth to sow the seed. In later years, they obviously had a sowing machine, but at that early stage, he was sowing the seed by hand. And as he sowed the seed, there were flocks of birds there, descending all around, gobbling up the seed that was on the top, as it were, that they could see. And that's a picture that we have here. The sower is, of course, the preacher. That's me today. I'm here today and I'm scattering the seed. The word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed, and so the seed has been sown, and it's falling on different kinds of soil, and you are one kind of soil, and the seed drops on you. And first of all, we're told about those who were like the pathway. that were round their little fields there in Galilee, there would be pathways where the ground was trampled down by lots of people walking on it. And so when the seed would fall on the pathway, it was sitting there, visible for the birds. And the birds came down and gobbled it up. And what's that picturing for us? It's picturing for us the devils. It's quite a thought, isn't it? That just as there were flocks of birds gathering up the seed in the field that was being sown, so there's a flock of devils here today. You can't see them, but they are active. And these devils are gobbling up the seed, taking it away in case it does you good. And that ought to be a great warning to us. It's quite shocking, really. The sower sows what is called here the word of the kingdom. What's the word of the kingdom? Well, you remember how Jesus says in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom. So what is the kingdom? It's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ. Christ is the king. It's belonging to his people. It's been part of his group. And the only way you can enter the kingdom is by being born again. Born of water, the water of regeneration, the washing of regeneration. Born of the Spirit, born again by the Spirit of God, regenerated. Except a man be born again. Have you been born again? Have you entered the kingdom? Do you have Christ as your king, your prophet to teach you, your priest to offer for you the atoning sacrifice and to intercede for you, and your king, subduing you to himself and ruling over you? The word of the kingdom. We need to belong to Christ's kingdom. There's two kingdoms. The kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the devil. Which kingdom do you belong to? Whose kingdom are you part of? As the word is preached, as the seed is sown, some people, it doesn't really penetrate. They don't hear. Why do you not hear it? Because you're daydreaming. Your mind's on other things. Maybe it's on the football, Rangers and Celtic. Maybe it's on what you're going to cook for lunch, the pudding you're going to make. Maybe it's on what you're planning to do next week. Maybe it's on your work. Maybe it's on your family, on your home, on an extension you're hoping to make to your home, or whatever it is. There's so many things. The devil's good at feeding you with things to keep your mind from listening to God's word. Are you daydreaming so that you're not hearing it? The seed's not sinking in. It lies on the surface and the devil's away with it. Or is it the case that you're actually hearing it, but it goes in one ear and it goes out the other? You hear it, you listen to it, but you don't take it to heart. You don't apply it to yourself. You're listening, and yet you're not listening. You know, there's something told us there in the prophecy of Ezekiel. People who are coming to listen to the prophet. The prophet was very eloquent. He had fascinating things to say. And they came along and they listened to him as if he was singing a beautiful song or playing on an instrument, as if he was a musician. They came and they listened and they let the word of God, as it were, wash over them. Maybe you come to church like that. Maybe you've come for years. And you're quite good at listening. You listen to it all, but it's just like a story, a fairy tale, a legend. Yes, you believe it in a way, but you don't really take it to heart. It doesn't apply to you. Is that the case? Are you like the pathway and the seed lands and the devils are away with it? This can be quite a sad thing to think of, the hardening that takes place as a person gets older. The Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Most people are converted in their teens or in their 20s, less in their 30s, few in their 40s, and after that, very, very few. Because there's a hardening. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The hardening of the heart. You've become so used to the preaching of the word. You've listened to it and rejected it so often that you've grown an armor around you. Nothing can penetrate through it. You've grown, as it were, a hard shell. A terrible thing to be hardened. Notice what it says here in verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. It's become hard. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. Are you closing your heart? Is God closing your heart as a judgment upon you because of the way that you have hardened your heart in the past? A solemn thought, isn't it? God hardening your heart. God making your eyes blind so that you can't see, your ears deaf so that you can't hear. Hardening you for judgment. Preparing you for hell. And you come Sunday after Sunday and you sit listening to the word. And all the time you've been prepared for the lake of fire, the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. How solemn and how sad. These are the pathway hearers. But it also, it refers to you who say you're a Christian. Well, are you listening? Are you taking in God's word? Are you too much like the pathway? Are you daydreaming when you're in church? Very attentive in other situations, but when it comes to church, your mind's on other things. You're maybe a bit sleepy. You're not paying attention to the precious word of God. You despise God's word. You think to yourself, I've heard it so often. I know all about the parable of the sower. That's got nothing for me. And you harden your heart. Fellow Christians, God's word is speaking to you. And the devil is dealing with you too. And the devil is causing you to be unfruitful. Are you listening to what God is saying to you? Or has your heart grown hard? Are you backslidden? Are you growing cold spiritually? There's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 8. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. A time of famine. The harvest has passed. The harvest was reaped in the spring. The summer has ended with the summer fruits. And there was just the bleakness, the darkness, the poverty, the hunger of winter. Has the harvest time passed for you? The summer, with its summer fruits gone, has God left you to yourself and your own devices? The seed by the wayside. Secondly, we have here the seed on the stony ground. Now here the seed sinks in a bit, and the seed is able to hide, as it were, from the birds, and it begins to grow. And these are people who receive the word with joy. They appreciate it. And it brings a change in their lives. But it's a superficial change. They like to hear what Jesus is saying. And they like to hear the preaching of the gospel. And they listen to the story of Christ dying on the cross for sinners. And they believe that he rose again on the third day. And they think about these things. And they think that they're born again. But no. It's only a kind of decision. A superficial change. They've said a prayer. They think they're saved. But they're not really saved. That's worrying, isn't it? A superficial change has taken place. And then the hot sun beats down. They're growing. They're growing for a while. But as the hot sun beats down, because the ground is shallow, because of the stones underneath, the ground soon dries up. And then the plant begins to fade and dies. The seed sown bears no fruit, shrivels away. When the trials come, when the time of testing comes, illness strikes perhaps, maybe cancer, you get angry with God and you say, why me? Why am I suffering this? Or some sort of depression comes, or some weakness comes, some disability comes, some difficulty comes, some tragedy to your home, some accident. And under the heat, as it were, of the sun, you shrivel up, your faith disappears, you become bitter. And your standing with God is gone. You fade away and you bear no fruit. The seed that is sown on the rocky ground, it has no root. He that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when the tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. People laugh at you, mock you maybe. The threat of some kind of persecution or difficulty, and then you change, you give up. Are you like that? No real depth, no true conversion. What a sad situation to be in. Remember these worrying words of Jesus and at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done all kinds of wonderful works? And I shall say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. A thought, isn't it? People who prophesied in the name of Christ. People who perform miracles, people who had wonderful answers to prayer. But the root of the matter was not there. shallow, superficial. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. It's easy to say, I'm a Christian. But are you really, truly, sincerely? Do you have root? A root in yourself? Roots that reach down? Or just a surface thing that shrivels away? Under trials, under persecution, when troubles come, fades away. The seed sown upon the stony ground. Next, we think of the seed sown among thorns. And the seed grows up again for a while, but the thorns grow much more quickly. And after a while, the thorns, which are growing so thick, so quickly, choke the seed so that it bears no fruit. Again, it's a superficial kind of conversion. No real repentance, no sorrow or grief over sin. No deep ploughing of the soul, as it were. And so the cares of the world come along. You've heard the word, you've received it with joy, but the cares of the world, your family, your home, your job, all these things are more important. They choke the seed. A spouse, children, education, promotion. The problems in the neighborhood, the difficulties in your family, the difficulties at the workplace, these things crowding in upon you, and you've got no time, as it were, no thought, no place, or very little place for God. It's a challenge to you who are unconverted, isn't it? But it's also a challenge to the Christians. Those who think they're converted. The cares and the deceitfulness of riches. Amazing how deceitful riches can be. How rich every one of us is in comparison to our parents and grandparents. I was thinking about that recently, how my own parents, the sort of homes they were born into, black houses, 120 years ago. Walls made of stone and turf and a thatched roof and clay on the floor, just the clay and a fire in the middle of the floor, a hole in the roof to let the smoke out. How different our lives are today. All the luxuries that we have, all the blessings that we enjoy. But are we any better spiritually? Are we any more godly? Or has riches deceived us? And have we got caught up in these things and so become superficial Christians? Easy lives and desiring more, wanting a renovated kitchen and wanting a new bathroom and wanting this and wanting that and a new car and wanting more, more, more all the time. And then one day we die and we leave these beautiful homes behind and all we have is our 6 feet of earth and the worms in the grave as our companion. Or is that all? Or do we have heaven? To depart and to be with Christ is far better. The house of many mansions, the glory above. What have we set our heart upon? What is our goal? What is our treasure? Is our treasure in heaven? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure on earth or is it in heaven? Be honest. Where is your treasure? The deceitfulness of riches. In Mark's gospel, we read about the lust of other things, the pleasures of the world. The pleasures of the world. What a grip they can have on us. The pastimes, the pleasures, the enjoyments, many of them sinless in themselves. But oh, they have such a deadening effect. If they're not kept in their place, such a deadening effect upon our soul. Swallowed up with cares and pleasures. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Are these things keeping you from Christ? Fellow Christian, are these things causing you to backslide? Is the good seed of God's word making no deep impression, being choked by the thorns? The thorns on the thistles. The thorny ground. Well, finally, the good ground. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Receiving the word with joy, loving the word, treasuring it, desiring it above all else, hungering and thirsting for the things of God, taking it to heart, applying it to your own life. Do you love the truth? Do you love God's word? Are you meditating therein day and night? When you hear sermons, are you taking them into your heart? Rather than criticizing the sermon, criticizing yourself in the light of God's word. And God's word is always there when the sermon is preached. Do we take it into our hearts? The word is there in front of us in the pages in our Bible. Are we finding there things that, are we applying it to our own soul or are we pushing it off? Paying little attention to it. Do we love the truth and feed upon it? Are we fruitful? Or are we barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do we take the word and mix it with faith in our hearts, receiving it? And is it making any difference to us? Are we being changed, transformed by God's word? Are we growing in grace? Are we bearing more fruit? Or are we backsliding and being cold and losing our first love and becoming lukewarm? This passage certainly is a message for you and me, whether we take it to heart or not. We can let it pass over us. We can let it wash over us. But Christ has a message for us here. He that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, wants to understand it, labors to understand it, focuses their mind upon it so as to understand it instead of daydreaming, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And what is this fruit then that God is looking for in your life? Well, it's obviously the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? And the fruit of the Spirit is first love. It's your love to God growing, your love to Jesus Christ, the Savior. your love to one another, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. How much did Christ love us? So much that he died for us. Will you die for your fellow Christians? For every one of them? Growing in love. Love to one another. Love to poor sinners outside of the kingdom. Concern for their souls. Joy. Rejoicing in forgiveness for your sins. Rejoicing in Calvary. Rejoicing in the truth. Join in the God of your salvation. And peace. Peace in your conscience. Peace in your circumstances. Peace with the world around you. Peace with your fellow men. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Wonderful thing to be a contented Christian. God loves to see that root in your life. Godliness with contentment. Long suffering. When the trials come, and all God's people have trials. In a sense, everybody who goes through this world will have their trials. But the Christian has more trials than the unbeliever. Because the Christian has chastisements, corrections, which the unbeliever doesn't have. And the Christian has trials to purify them so that they come out as gold. The trials that affect the just in number many be. Many troubles come to the righteous. Don't become a Christian to be, as it were, free from troubles. Because a Christian has troubles. Jesus says to you, you cannot be a Christian, can't be a disciple of mine unless you deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. There are troubles in the life of the Christian. More troubles than the unconverted have. Then the unconverted have their heaven here. The Lord's people have their heaven in the next world. The heaven of the Lord's people is eternal. The heaven of the unbeliever is temporary and full of troubles as well. Long suffering, knowing that all things work together for good, bearing with afflictions, because you see God has a good purpose in these things. Gentleness, not harsh, but compassionate. Goodness, kindness, faith, and faithfulness, and steadfastness, trusting and following. More and more faith in God, in Christ. And then temperance, self-control. Temperance when it comes to alcohol, yes. But temperance with regard to food, temperance with regard to whatever pleasures, whatever thing it is, work or whatever. Always self-control, moderation in all things. The Lord is at hand. Don't get carried away with anything. Don't get carried away with politics. Don't get carried away arguing about earthly things. Moderation in all things. The Lord is at hand. Christ is coming soon. Prepare. Addicted to nothing but the ministry and the service of God. And the things of the kingdom. You can't be too addicted to the Bible. You can't be too addicted to prayer. You can't be too addicted to Christian fellowship and worship and service and the things of God. That's what we're to be addicted to. Serving the Lord and valuing heaven more and more. Fellow Christian, this passage challenges me. Does it challenge you? Does it speak to you? And if you're not a Christian today, if you're not a believer, if you're not born again, can I offer Christ to you once again. He's freely offered in the gospel. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Christ is there. Will you have him? Or will you again reject him today? Every time you hear the gospel, you're challenged. Will you have him or will you not? How many times have you rejected the gospel before? Will you ask Christ into your heart or will you despise him? He says, come unto me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Let us pray. Gracious and ever-blessed God, we thank thee for the great sower, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee too for those whom thou dost call and send out to sow the seed. And we pray that that seed would bear fruit in our lives, that we would not be barren or unfruitful, that we would not be pathway hearers, that we would not be rocky ground hearers, that we would not be thorny ground hearers, but that we would be the good ground, taking in the word of God, receiving it with joy, so that it will bring forth much fruit in our lives. May we be fruitful, not to our glory, but to thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.